If just a few days ahead of Christmas, you haven't decided what you'll be serving for dinner, time is running out. And if you wanted to think outside the culinary box, there's no person I think of more than Mark Brody, who's here with some advice. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, so Steve, maybe you're thinking ham or turkey or maybe a, you know, good old-fashioned traditional goose. But what about, Steve, a pudding?
Uh-huh.
You ever thought about that?
No.
I'm guessing you haven't.
No.
Not the chocolate or vanilla kind you make out of a box, but, you know, perhaps a real old-fashioned pudding. The problem is, it turns out, we just don't eat them anymore. We haven't eaten them for a long time now. So to find out why that is, I caught up with Helen Zoe Veit. She's an associate professor of history at Michigan State University. She actually studies the history of food and wrote a piece about all this. So I asked her first off to define our terms. What kind of pudding are we talking about here? I was guessing not the dessert kinds of pudding we typically think about now.
Right. And of course, Americans haven't stopped eating all kinds of pudding. When people say pudding today, they mean something. They usually mean a dessert, often with lots of eggs and dairy. They might mean bread pudding or tapioca pudding or chocolate pudding. Or, you know, many Americans today are mainly familiar with puddings because of the boxes of instant puddings that are available in grocery stores. But what I was talking about included sweet dessert puddings, but back in the 19th century, pudding was a much larger category. It included not just bread puddings and tapioca puddings, but also things like pigeon puddings and mutton puddings and beef puddings and all sorts of vegetable puddings. And it's that larger category, especially of savory puddings, that disappeared from American diets during the 20th century.
And those were a pretty big part of the culinary scene back then, right? I mean, there's that Christmas song that talks about figgy pudding.
Absolutely. Yeah, puddings were an everyday staple for many Americans. It wasn't a meaningless term. It had, people meant something specific by it, but it was very broad. It could mean a sort of, meaty stew encased in a pie crust that was either boiled or baked. Or it could mean a custardy dish that was sweet, that was steamed, or it could mean even fruits that had some sort of a starch inside them that were baked. It was a very elastic category back then.
Now, I will be honest that something called pigeon pudding does not sound that appealing to me, but why in general did Americans stop eating these things?
Well, there are a variety of reasons, but I think one of the biggest is that the kind of savory mixed dish that puddings had been in the 19th century became unfashionable in the early 20th century. Food trends are nothing new if you study the history of food, and a big trend of the early 20th century, so roughly 100 years ago, was to eat plain food, which food reformers and nutritionists at the time swore were more healthful and more easy to digest than mixed foods. And that might seem kind of strange, but there was an element of xenophobia mixed up in this advice, because by the early 20th century, a lot of people, a lot of especially native-born Americans, had come to think of mixed foods as something that immigrants ate. They weren't mainly talking about puddings. Puddings were not their target. They were talking about goulashes and pasta dishes and kind of mixed garlicky stews that immigrants were eating, and immigration was very high in the late 19th century. But savory puddings kind of got caught up in the whirlwind. So the fashionable, healthful meal, the meal that well-educated people supposedly ate, was plain food, especially plain meat, plain vegetables, maybe plain potatoes on the side.
Did people at that time also give up things like soups, which also have a lot of random things sort of thrown in them?
Soups, the most fashionable kind of soup to eat 100 years ago was a clear broth or a consommé. The sort of rich, hearty, mixed stew also became unfashionable. Not everyone ate this way, however. Lots of people were, of course, themselves immigrants. Lots of people were poor. Lots of people just liked soup and said, well, it might not be that healthy for me, but I don't care. I'm going to eat it anyway. I have to say, though, like all food trends, it quickly went out of fashion, so that by the 1920s, you see Americans going in exactly the opposite direction and starting to eat things like spaghetti and chow mein and precisely those kinds of immigrant dishes that, you know, had recently been declared unhealthful.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of folks at Thanksgiving had some kind of casserole. A lot of folks at Christmas will probably have some kind of casserole, which seems in many ways like what a pudding used to be.
Exactly. By the 1930s and 1940s, casseroles were starting to come into fashion. And those, as you said, were exactly the kind of mixed food baked that could have included puddings in other decades.
So you are somebody who studies the history of food. So I have to ask, have you tasted any number of these types of puddings that, you know, we don't typically eat in this country anymore?
I haven't made a lot of the steamed or boiled puddings. I have had a boiled Christmas pudding before, and I have had some of the savory pies, but I haven't done the hardcore experimentation yet. But, you know, Christmas is coming up, so we'll see.
No pigeon pudding for you yet.
Not yet.
All right, fair enough. Helen, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Helen Zoe Veit is an associate professor of history at Michigan State University, where she studies the history of food.